Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Hello, it's just after 6 o'clock and for the next hour, financial information that helps you make sense of the economy and build wealth. The day in a snapshot, resources leading the JSE higher in late trade, the Rand slightly weaker post-budget, and bullion is having a stronger day. Coming up with the programme, the budget speech, consumer optimism versus hard reality. There are new concerns over the hold that the tobacco sector is having on young people. South Africa's new earnings threshold, is it a strategic lifeline amid growing economic uncertainty? The true value of water, what it's really worth, and the JSE largely shrugging off any negative sentiment over the budget. That's all to come. Let's start the show.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, consumer optimism can be a powerful driver of economic activity, but how much of it is, I wonder, grounded in actual reality? Yesterday's budget may have softened the blow of a bigger VAT hike temporarily, but the impact of fiscal drag means that many taxpayers are actually taking home less, and inflation is continuing to chip away at our purchasing power. At the same time, credit markets are shifting, more South Africans are relying on loans and store accounts simply to stay afloat, while banks and lenders are tightening their risk assessments. Not necessarily a very rosy picture. Let's try and put all of this into perspective. A day after the budget, I'm in conversation now with Lee Nike, who is Chief Executive Officer of TransUnion Africa. Lee, first of all, before we delve into all of this, the budget yesterday doesn't really give consumers much to shout about, does it?
I think you're right. I think it's early days, but the reality is twofold. One, notwithstanding some consumer good items being zero rated for VAT, most consumer households will see an increase in their household expenditure. And what that implies for us, Jeremy, is that in an already indebted household environment, you know, some 62.2% of disposable income goes towards servicing debt. We feel that many households now become strained, especially as far as servicing their bank and other lender agreements.
Now, you guys do a lot of data mining, and let me suggest to you that consumer sentiment can sometimes be very misleading. So based on the work that you're doing right now, do you think that not just post-budget, but perhaps in a slightly longer time frame, are South Africans feeling a little bit more optimistic about their finances right now, or is this just wishful thinking?
I definitely believe that pre-budget speech yesterday, at least over the last few months, we've seen some subsequent decreases in interest rates totaling some 0.75%. We've definitely seen a buoyancy in consumer sentiment. In fact, we actually look at the BankServe data from back in January, where it has noted an increase in take-home pay. So not only is the sentiment a feeling, but consumers felt better in general that salaries are being increasing, inflation was in hand, and their monthly repayment obligations have been reduced. So we found that some 65% of consumers reported back in quarter four that they were able to pay off their debts much quicker. And that compares favorably against a prior comparison of 59%. So by all accounts, Jeremy, over the last few months, there's been a buoyancy about the optimism. Arguably, one can point to the fact of having stable electricity for some 300 days as being a key determinant that drove our positivity.
Lee, I acknowledge the optimism, but against that backdrop, we still see increased reliance on credit, particularly in the form of personal loans and store accounts. Those red flags are not lowered yet, are they?
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, you know, according to the Reserve Bank, some 62.2% of our nominal disposable income goes towards servicing debt. And that spans all the way from both unsecured loans from microfinanciers all the way to cars and home loans. The reality is that for many households, there's a reliance on both unsecured finance and facilities such as credit cards just to go about living their lives. And as I pointed out earlier, a 0.5% increase in VAT may actually perpetuate people accessing more of these expensive credit instruments just to go about living their lives.
And the upshot is that we've seen an increase in credit default, particularly in lower income brackets. Are you at this point seeing any trends in repayment behavior that suggest a growing financial crisis here or increased financial distress?
What we have seen is at least at a sentiment level, an increase in the confidence of people to pay off their debts. What we have, however, not seen is any commensurate decline in the number of people going into default. And what that means is that for many consumers that aren't able to pay their monthly payments 3 months in a row, we flag that as a higher probability of going into default. So yes, you're right. There's been a sentiment there, but given the pressures of living in South Africa, with pressures across many sectors from fuel to just the average a food basket size, the pressures there on meeting their debt obligations. And for many consumers, they are impaired and their ability to meet their obligations are still being challenged, Jeremy.
So I know that your data covers consumer risk profiles. In that respect, then, are financial institutions in any way adjusting their lending strategy? Are they ratcheting up the pressure slightly?
Well, they are ratcheting up the pressure as far as adjusting their credit risk strategies. It is very difficult to call whether you or I are potentially good customers from a credit risk perspective. And typically, when things are as lacking in terms of confidence, then bankers do actually pull back on extending finance. What we are seeing, however, Jeremy, is that in some of the banks and lenders, they're starting to adopt new age technologies. We call this alternative data and even forms of artificial intelligence to start to understand better whether there's potential to take on consumers and extend credit in the short term. Because if you go with the general rule, it's actually quite difficult for any lender to extend finance right now. So it's a bit of a conundrum as to where the opportunity lies. We as TransUnion see opportunity within certain pockets, and we should probably talk about the younger parts of our population, which appear to be a lot more buoyant than the Gen X that you and I are. And there's something to be said about that. The challenge for banks and lenders is how do we distinguish between those that are not just buoyant about the economy, but also are able to honor their obligations should they take on new debt?
Lee, I just want to thank you for calling me a Gen X. You don't know how good that makes me feel tonight, because I think I'm a lot older than that. But thank you indeed. I'm going to take anything that I can get in that respect. But I'm very interested in the shift to digital finance and alternative credit scoring, as you've said, artificial intelligence playing a much bigger role in that respect, particularly among that younger cohort that you're talking about. What impact then is that having on their behavior and their ability to navigate the economic uncertainty that you've referred to?
You know, it's really interesting studying generational patterns. And what we do every quarter is understand the sentiment across the entire generational groups, including you as a Gen X or a baby boomer. It doesn't really matter. But more importantly, it's interesting that the strongest optimism comes from our youngsters. Generation Z has an 86% optimism about their finances over the next year, followed by millennials coming in at 85%. It's less likely or less probable at the older age groups. So where is the sentiment coming from? Like I mentioned earlier, when you fix the structural elements of an economy, like electricity, we've seen a greater confidence, and we mustn't underestimate for a long period of time having sustained electricity and no load shedding has made us all a bit more buoyant. The second point worth noting is that when you have an unemployment rated at 31.9%, which is our official rating, and a high proportions within the 18 to 24 youth segment, there's a general confidence that they need to do something. And what you're finding is a few new patterns that the new generations are bringing into play. One, you found that they realize that we struggle with public transport infrastructure. It's something we call transport poverty in our industry. And what we're starting to see is that Generation Z is looking for ways to move between places, from their home to a job site, because they want to be employed. And what you're starting to see as a consequence, Jeremy, is the introduction of what we call mobility as a service, more of these tiny, cuter Bajaj vehicles on the road and other vehicles like the Chinese vehicles that are really putting pressure on established OEMs to drive down the price of vehicles. So what you're going to find is that Generational Z specifically are less concerned about how vehicles look. They realize that their future is in their control, and I believe the positivity is manifesting in them forcing us as industries to change how we show up. So give us better options in terms of vehicles, better financial products. Get us moving because we, as the younger groups, want to participate in the growth of South Africa's economy.
Some very valuable insights there. Lee Naicker, I appreciate it. Chief Executive Officer of TransUnion Africa. I'm sure we'll talk to you again later in the year.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.